Welcome back, everyone. You killed it, the Real World Road Rules Challenge podcast. I'm Ryan Kane.
I'm Jordan Strickland.
How's it going, Jordan?
Going swell. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How's your purple parrot costume go over?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. You know,
turned out all right.
That's good.
How did performing as Bill and Ted go?
It was pretty good. I'd say probably only half of the audience knew who the hell we were supposed to be or anything like that. But the ones who did were excited.
What, are you playing to a bunch of fucking morons, Jordan?
Apparently.
How could they not know? Oh, my God.
Well, maybe they did know and they just didn't say anything. I don't know.
Well, maybe they weren't used to just seeing Bill and Ted perform without the good robot Bill and Ted there to support them, as well as
the ZZ Top beard and the pointy mustache.
That's right.
Maybe you're right. Back in Michigan for a couple days, just watched the challenge. It was a good episode.
How's the tour going?
It's going okay. It's had some ups and downs. But yeah, it's going pretty good. It seems like every other show is a good show, so we keep having sucky ones and then really good ones, so we'll keep doing it.
Hook up with any groupies?
No. No, sir.
Try to work on that, would you?
Maybe I'll tell you a fake story on the next episode just to whet your appetite a little bit.
Okay, on the next episode, you could tell me a fake story, and then in between this episode and that episode, you could tell me a real story.
Fair enough.
All right. First off, I want to talk about something that was on MTV.com. They have this thing where you can vote for what you think the next challenge should be.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, I don't know how serious they're taking it, but God knows I'm taking it dead seriously.
Of course.
So, yeah, you could vote between, like, Duel 3, Island 2, fucking Battle of the Seasons 2, Battle of the X's 2, all that bullshit, Jordan.
Do they have the Inferno on there?
I don't know. I don't think they had Inferno 4 or, like, Gauntlet 4.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they had everything that hasn't gotten up to 3 yet. They have all that shit.
That is interesting. Does it show how many, like, how the votes are doing so far?
So far, Duel 3 is in the lead.
Knew it.
I took part in that as well. I'm part of the reason that Duel 3 is in the lead.
Yeah, because you voted once?
That's right.
Well, maybe I'll have to go on and throw another vote towards the Duel 3.
Yeah, get in there, man. Duel 3, or the Duel, rather, is the format that you need if you want to round up the best possible cast.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, because everybody wants it to be in it for themselves. You could get all the old favorites back.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
I remember Darrell saying, I think it was Darrell, that the only way he would do another challenge if it was the Duel 3.
Yeah, like, because everyone's worried, like, am I going to take fucking 3 months off of work, show up in goddamn Australia, and then Kellyanne's like, oh no, I'm not doing this shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not with the Duel. You don't have to worry about that with the Duel.
Well, I hope that one wins, and I hope they actually do it. It'd be nice.
Yeah. I hope they are taking it seriously, and it's not just some fun poll, although I'm sure it is, because fucking MTV, they don't know what they're doing over there.
Mm-hmm.
So how'd you like this episode, Jordan?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I had a lot of me yelling at the TV about how much I hate Frank. And it just keeps getting worse and worse with this guy.
Yeah, Frank sure turned a corner, man.
He,
Or rather, he turned back onto the road that he had been going down ever since his first Real World appearance.
He's not just a normal a-hole. He gives off a vibe that is, like, super angry. And if I had to pick somebody who's most likely to get murdered on the cast of the challenge, it would be Frank, because nobody pushes people's buttons like Frank.
Yeah, it's very true.
And so on the challenge, well, I guess it started off with Brooklyn trying to, like, have their own fun game to entertain everybody, to make everybody like them.
Yeah, but to do insane games house edition.
Yeah, which it seemed like some of the questions were just rehashes of things, like they were trying to spell narcissistic again. None of them could actually do it still. But I have a feeling they really didn't expect to win any votes or favor from anybody else, because they know they're going in again. No amount of making people happy is going to keep them from going into the challenge again when they lose.
Yeah, there's only one way to keep themselves out of the challenge.
And that's to win.
That's right.
Which is what they did in this challenge. It was a puzzle challenge mixed with a physical endurance challenge where they had to memorize a bunch of stuff, memorize a puzzle, which would be my absolute worst nightmare, because you have to memorize something and then keep it in your brain for God knows how long, an hour and a half or something, as you're carrying heavy logs up a hill. You know, it's a goddamn nightmare.
When you're doing something that is like going to make your brain shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I paused it and tried to look at that puzzle key. There was no rhyme or reason to it. I have no idea how they did that one.
Well, maybe there was, and you're just too stupid to know.
Could be. Like, but Sarah was talking about, like, a clock or some shit.
Yeah, well, Sarah is the queen, and that's why she's the reason why they won. She had a bunch of different strategy things that I think had, well, two, that helped them win. Number one was she figured out a different way to memorize it. I don't know what exactly she meant by
I feel like
think
that,
of it as a clock.
I think that's bullshit. I feel like she was just confusing people by saying that. But the other thing that she said, you're right on. That, like, she was, the fact that she was the only person to think up the let's put this shit together down here,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to fucking doing the puzzle once we're at the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
It was great. And which team was it that said, we're going to just carry all the logs up and figure it out up there? Which team was that?
That was Dustin. It's like, we see all these logs. It's just like, let's just chew them all. Let God fucking figure it out.
I think they may have abandoned that strategy. It does. I don't know if they went. They did go down a lot, but it seems like after you go back and forth 12 times or 3 times, you're going to be like, we don't need these extra 4 logs or whatever.
Well, the problem is that you, like, once you've gone up there the first time, like, there's the chance that you've already wasted your energy on logs you don't need, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's that was the big flaw in their plan.
Yeah, they, like, every team but Brooklyn fucked themselves, I feel. Mm-hmm. And that's why Brooklyn just killed it in this challenge. Logged out, it was called. Mm-hmm. Logged out.
No one can stop Sarah when she's in a puzzle challenge.
Best moment of this entire episode was the pre-interview before the challenge started, where Sarah was like, I guess I have a reputation for being good at puzzles. I don't know how I got it. And then Chet Butts is like, because you brag about it.
Yeah, that was funny.
I could not stop laughing at that. And as I was watching it, the episode again today, I saw like Devin's eyes shoot at her as she was talking. Like, everyone in her group was like, Sarah, what the fuck are you talking about? You know exactly how you got that shit.
Mm-hmm. So Brooklyn won. And, so it was kind of between the two-person teams to see who came in second. And this challenge was, or came in last, rather. This challenge was really the first one where two-person teams have a disadvantage, but this one especially, because they had to carry so many logs back and forth up the hill. They had to make so many more trips.
Yeah.
So they really had no chance of winning. It was just a battle for last.
Exactly, you're right. It really did come down to which two-person team was going to come in last. But another thing that we got to see in this challenge is who the weakest people left on the challenge are. And that it was clear that it was Sam and Devin who, if they somehow make it to the final, are going to be real weak links.
I've been disappointed with Sam. I kind of... I guess I overestimated how butch she was. I assumed she was like a gym person, same as the rest of her team, I guess, but she's not, apparently.
Yeah, I guess she's just like thick or something.
Yeah, she looks athletic.
She's got bulk but no tone.
That challenge when she was like, I mean, in some ways I agreed with Zach and Frank. I wouldn't have gone about it the same way that they did, but like, she's got the log on her back. She just has to walk, and she just shuts. Like, I guess they should have known it, since they know her, that yelling at her is probably not the best way, because that's when she really stopped.
Yeah, the problem was is that they went with the rub some dirt on it approach. You know? And like, clearly she needed like,
come on, we can do this.
Yeah, she needed some more support. You know, mm-hmm. She.
God, Sam! God damn it!
Yeah, Frank and Zach prove that they are not leaders in this. That they're
idiots.
Yeah.
Zach looks like he could be the next challenge member to join the WWE. Nobody looks more like a wrestler than Zach.
It's
He's
true.
Huge.
I have higher hopes for him than WWE, though.
Hey, The Miz was the champion of WWE. That's pretty good.
Really, the champion of WWE is pretty good. Is that what passes for pretty good these days?
For a challenge member, I can't think of anybody that's done anything better other than Jamie Chung, who's a C-list actress. D-list, possibly.
I'd say C-list, probably.
Well, she's in A-list movies, but nobody knows who she is.
She's been in, like, Hangover 2. She's in the new fucking... What is that? Was that one? Man with the Iron Fist or whatever?
Yeah, that's supposed to be a piece of shit. But anyway, The Miz... Well, anyway, I don't want to get into that. But Frank really showed his true colors again, and I hate him. And I can't figure out... Like, when they went back to the house, they kind of got into it again, San Diego, that is. And I couldn't figure out at what point Zach became, like, a good guy and kind of made friends with Sam again, because he was just as bad as Frank on the challenge, yelling at her and stuff.
Oh yeah, the only point that they became friends again is when they both had to go into the fucking arena.
Yeah,
Zach and Sam became like allies in their hatred of Frank.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that happened there.
Yeah, Frank. He's a slimy little son of a bitch. He kind of volunteered himself. But then as soon as Sam volunteered herself, because she sucked, or she was doing the honorable thing, basically, then Frank kind of took his hat off the table.
Yeah, the idea was that, like, if it was physical, Zach would go in. If it was mental, Frank would go in. Mm-hmm. And they were thinking that, physical, it would be Sam and, physical, it would be Sam and Zach. Mental, it would be Ashley and Frank.
Right.
And then Frank's excuse was like, well, no, Sam's volunteering herself, so the game has changed.
It's That's like, ridiculous. It shouldn't have changed at all. He should have said, well, you know, if it's mental, you can do that.
Because the agreement had nothing to do with the girls, you know, it was more about the guys. Frank was just looking for his fucking way out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a true pussy move.
Hold on. What the hell is that noise? Do you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
It was coming through on your end. It was a... All right, well, it was, stopped. It was a weird electronic noise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, okay. What were we talking about?
Well, we just were talking about how Frank was a fucking pusshole.
Frank is a fucking pusshole, and... I hate him, and I would have really loved to see San Diego lose the duel or whatever the hell the arena. I was glad that I was hoping Brooklyn was going to send them in. And although Jemmy and Knight are not my favorite team, I definitely like them better than San Diego and would have liked to see them continue.
I don't know. As much bullshit's going on with San Diego, I still kind of like... I just wish things could have been different.
How so?
I don't know. I wish San Diego was cooler. I wish they were cool like they were in the first few episodes.
But they're not, Ryan. A
bunch of fucking assholes.
They came in trying to make friends with people and not be assholes, but...
Yeah, but Knight's an asshole, too.
Knight is a fucking asshole, but not... Well, I guess he... I don't know. He doesn't give off the dangerous asshole vibe that Frank does.
Yeah, but Knight's a whole different breed of asshole. He's like putting women down. Although I guess Frank and Zach were also really dishing it out to women this
At no point during Knight's assholeness have I wanted to punch him in the face, but I don't think I would have been able to hold back from punching Frank.
Would you have punched Zach?
No. He's too big.
You wouldn't have been able to reach that high?
No. It would have been like the scene in Back to the Future 2 where I try to punch Biff, future Biff, and he just doesn't do anything.
And then
gets bigger.
Yeah, exactly. His fucking boots extend about 3 mm-hmm. feet.
Yeah.
But
they chose mental. Brooklyn chose mental. And so it was Jemmy and Knight versus Zach and Sam. And it was the one where they have to pull themselves down to the bottom of the thing to lift
the... Before we get into that, we breezed by the whole
CJ thing. Yeah, that was funny.
CJ and Ashley and the love notes.
Yeah, CJ and Ashley, it's unclear whether they actually have some kind of love affair going on or if they've actually even kissed or anything.
Well, but, CJ seems like he is really into Ashley.
Yeah.
Ashley, on the other hand.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot coming from her towards
Because CJ wrote her that love note and she just left it like lying on the floor of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Which is where it was found by Marie and some of the other girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that the best way to handle that was to make a fake return love note.
That was great. They,
my God. How humiliating.
It had to have been. He handled the humiliation pretty well. But he basically went up to Ashley and said, thanks for the note. And she was like, what note? And then they read it aloud. And they did a good job because it wasn't so stupid that you wouldn't believe it was real. But it was just stupid enough where it was funny.
I love how, like, it seemed like Knight just dictated the whole thing off the top of his head in, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like he had it fucking locked and loaded his entire life. And I love, what was the line, like, I hope we could get modeling gigs together?
Yeah, that was
hilarious.
Something
like that. It was, that was, oh my God. Line. That would have been so humiliating.
Mm-hmm. And to have, I would have loved to see CJ read that out loud on camera, like before he knew it was a joke, to see his reaction, like, cool, she wants to, yeah, that'd be cool, modeling gigs, peanut butter,
him like holding his heart,
yeah,
him,
oh,
like
this girl's
talking
great
to the, doing his interview about how much he likes her,
masturbating while he rereads the letter,
smelling it.
And it was all Night.
So, yeah, Sam volunteers, but the guys refuse.
So Zach ended up being in. Yeah, they chose the dumber guy, but it wouldn't have really mattered. They actually, knowing the challenge now, they should have probably chosen Frank because of the strength factor.
Because even though it is mental, technically, like, it doesn't come down to, like, mental ability.
No.
You're fucking like technically, I guess you could say it's a game of memory, but the pieces are right next to each other. You're just copying from one board to another.
Mm-hmm.
And the real hard part is on the guy who has to like pull you down to the bottom of the, or pull himself down to the bottom of the tank. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a mental factor
as far as the guys go, unless they consider endurance or like grit a mental factor.
Yeah.
But I couldn't really figure out why Zach wasn't able to get down to the bottom.
Well, it's the same reason the Big Easy was having some trouble too, is because they're so tall. Like, they could have their fucking forehead pressed against the bottom, and yeah, and their feet are still sticking out of the top of the tank, you know?
That's a
good
point.
So they have to go all the way down and then do like a crunch. And so yeah, it seems like it would be difficult.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. And it definitely would, but I thought we were having like another Miz can't climb the rope incident with Zach not being able to get himself to the bottom of the tank. But Knight seemed to do a little bit better with, I guess he seems short, yeah. Maybe you're right.
But like, he clearly didn't do that much better because he fucking lost.
Also true. I thought they were going to win, but what are you going to do? San Diego's still there. They'll probably win the whole goddamn challenge.
No, I can't see them winning the whole goddamn challenge with as bad as Sam did.
Yeah, maybe they'll self-destruct a little bit more.
Yeah, like, Sam did terrible. They're fucking fighting. It seems like the fighting is going to get worse in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, even when Frank was trying to talk to Sam when Sam was packing, Sam, like, didn't seem to be buying the bullshit. Frank was giving it the oh, it's not you, it's us, it's me and Zach. That fight had nothing to do with you. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You kept pointing at me as you were screaming.
Yeah. Oh, Frank.
San Diego is a team of real assholes. I loved when they win the challenge and Zach comes up and he's like, Sam, I love you. Fuck you, Frank.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the episode, actually, because
hey,
he had
Frank,
to like,
fuck you.
Yeah, he had to like reorient his body and like he started saying it and then he had to turn a little bit more.
Hey, Frank, fuck you.
That's a good team. And Frank looked clearly disappointed that they had won.
Yeah, yeah. Because everyone knows that it is not going to be smooth sailing for that team from here on out.
Now they're in trouble.
Oh my god. And then we get amazing lines from Frank, like, oh, they haven't been able to win a challenge without me. It's like, what are you talking about, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, yes, I think Frank is a strong player, but I mean, it's not like San Diego has been killing it.
Weird thing, I'm still kind of baffled at how Cancun seems to be the biggest, most powerful team.
I know, I agree.
They have the two smallest girls.
And their guys aren't exactly huge either.
No.
I guess their whole team is lean.
Yeah.
You know, they're like,
they don't really have a set leader either. I guess just teamwork or something.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know, man. You're kind of weird.
Usually, John A. and Jasmine are not forces to be reckoned with on these challenges.
Yeah, they've
been partners on every challenge they've ever been on, which is, it's getting old, I got to tell you.
It's cool to see them working together well, though.
I guess they did have their fights and stuff in previous seasons.
And I got to say, I paused the intro this episode and was like looking at each or like some of the team's intros. God, John A is hot in that intro.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Got a new crush.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that, but let's just say the clothes they put her in, the short skirt, suspenders,
mm-hmm.
tight top.
You seem to go back and forth a lot on how your view of Jasmine's wait, did you say John A or Jasmine?
I said John A.
John A's looks.
You're right, but like, to be fair, I've been doing a lot of drinking this morning, so that could explain things.
Mm-hmm. Well, no
we'll
better time for a nice highball than 8 in the morning, right?
Well, give me a break, Jordan. I got off work like 4 hours ago.
Okay, so for you, it's about midnight then.
Like, exactly.
I got it. You're in good shape then.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
figuratively. So anyway, I haven't watched Survivor. I haven't had a chance. I was able to get one of my stupid, well, I don't want to call her stupid, a fan to give me her.
Jesus Christ, Jordan.
I'm one sorry.
Of my stupid fucking fans. Some dumb bitch gave me her fucking.
She was password. Very nice, and she gave me her password for cable. So I'm up on my Homeland and Dexter, but I can't watch Survivor or the challenge on my phone. I haven't figured out how to do it yet. But I'm going to try to work it out. So, and oh, and the for the listeners, the reason why we have an episode this week is we kind of got lucky because of Halloween. They didn't have an episode. And then this week, the tour stops just happened to be in Michigan. So I'm in my own home. And then next week, I'll be back next weekend here so we can do another episode. And then after that, I don't know what the hell we're going to do. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So far, it's worked out.
Yeah, we've lucked out. Maybe there'll be Halloween again 2 weeks from now.
You never know. Well, we got Thanksgiving coming up.
Oh, my God, Jordan. You're so right. Perfect. It doesn't have to be Halloween again. It can be just Thanksgiving.
You want to hear some tour stories?
Sure.
They're not that good, but one just popped in my head. The first day after we played in Phoenix, somehow our plan, in case the listeners don't know, is to always stay with fans or people that just happen to be at the bar that don't mind people sleeping on their couches. And we hooked up with this guy.
Oh, my God.
What?
Jordan.
That's not what I meant.
Okay, so this girl groupie. No, met this girl groupie at the bar.
No, this is a horror story. We met this guy who said he could get us a deal on a hotel room. And I'm going to cut to the end of the story. It turned out we were just housing a homeless man, basically. I figured out eventually. We went to this hotel with him. He, like, guided us there. It was the worst hotel I've ever been in my life. And I'm not exaggerating. I can't imagine a hotel being worse than it. It had concrete floor. It was like...
And this is coming from a guy who worked at the Tranny Motel 6.
Correct. The Motel 6 I worked in was much, much better. The room of the hotel had concrete floors and concrete walls. It looked like in case somebody got murdered in there, you could just clean it out and just power spray the whole thing without like ruining the rest of the room because it was just all concrete. You know, no towels in the room or anything, but that's not the worst part. We got back to the hotel. This guy, we found out later he didn't end up paying for any share of the room or for any like food or anything he brought back. He somehow goaded some chick that was also like one of our fans into buying all this stuff for us. So we thought this guy was like taking care of us, but he wasn't at all. And he starts telling us that we're much better on the recording than we are live. So I'm like, this guy's a fucking asshole. And then he keeps going into like, so the list of things that this guy was as a profession was great. He was a bounty hunter. He was a music promoter. He was a producer. He was like pre-med. Like it just went on and on. And at this point, I realized that there was no chance in hell I was going to be sleeping in the room with this crazy guy because I figured out that he also was planning on sleeping in the room with us. And there's six people in the room with two beds. So I'm like, I'm sleeping in the van. And then he goes into this story about how he killed his brother with a shotgun. And that's, as soon as he launches into that story, I got up without saying anything and I just walked out the door and I went to the car and got my blanket and I just like went to sleep. Even though we were in like a horrible area and I was terrified, me and the drummer, just, as soon as he went into that story, just went out. And then the rest of the guys just slept in the room with the guy and we could have all been killed.
I you're very level-headed, Jordan. Like in that situation, you were still just able to quietly, like, just stand up, walk away, didn't let anyone in on your intentions. It could have just been like, I'm going down to the soda machine. You guys tomorrow morning.
No, I needed to get. There's no way I was closing my eyes in front of that psychopath. And he also wanted to, like, help us, or wanted us to be, he wanted to be our manager, basically. And we were all scared of him after that.
You're lucky he didn't love knife the whole fucking band.
Yep. I went into the room in the morning, and he's sleeping next to the bass player, who didn't realize that the guy was staying with us either. And then how I figured out that he was most likely just a homeless crazy man was he didn't have a credit card. He had some story about how he lost his wallet, which sounded like bullshit. And he didn't have a cell phone. He had another bullshit story about how he broke his cell phone and shattered the screen or something. So no cell phone, no credit card, no money. Killed his brother. Multiple crazy professions. This guy was homeless, and we housed a homeless man for the night.
Well, like, Jordan, you have lived in Hollywood for a couple of years. You worked at a really shitty, crappy motel.
It wasn't. There's shittier in Hollywood, but yes.
Fine, but you can pick out like the bullshit of a homeless person. You know,
I knew we were in trouble as soon as the guy introduced himself to me, but I was like, well, nowhere else to stay tonight.
Your bandmates may not have the same experience.
They do not, clearly.
There's a certain sort of like sly manipulation that comes with certain people. And sometimes it will sneak by people, but You've clearly had some experience with it. Mm-hmm. So good on you for fucking sleeping out in the van. Can you imagine if you walked back into the hotel room the next morning and it was just wall to wall with blood? How surprised would you have been? Not at all?
I probably would have, on a scale of 1 to 10, it probably would have been about a 5.
Yeah, 5. It should, like, technically it should be a 10.
But and then it would have, like, snapped into focus. I'd be like, well, this is why we have concrete walls and concrete floors in here. This happens all the time.
And this is why I slept in the van.
Mm-hmm. I won. And then the next morning, this is just, has nothing to do with it, but it was, like, 6 in the morning, and I heard, like, a horrible car crash, like, that happened right in front of where the car was parked, and I just, like, popped my head up, and then I felt like a coward because I didn't go help. That's my thing.
Well,
but everybody seemed to be okay. They all got out of the car, so what the hell do they want me to do? They were all calling. They got cell phones. They can call 911.
Yeah, at a certain point, it's like too many people gathering around is not helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a hindrance.
It's true.
So, you did the right thing.
Thanks, by not doing anything.
Exactly. But not by not doing anything, by not like being more of a distraction, by not being some fucking looky-loo that was just standing around not doing anything.
Yeah, I went back to bed.
Exactly, man.
So are you up on Survivor?
No.
You're not?
No.
What's your excuse?
I was behind a week and then I got behind 2 weeks. I'm gonna be back up on it by next week though. I promise. All right.
Okay. Well, you'll have to tell me how it's going. I'm gonna try to get through a couple episodes. How many am I behind? 3? 4?
Probably about 3.
I'll try to get through them today, so at least I'll be sort of up to date next week. So yeah, anything else to talk about?
Nothing's jumping to mind. We're caught up on listener email. Everyone should vote for Duel 3. But even more important than that, you should rate us on iTunes. 5 stars.
Yeah.
You know, send us some listener emails if you would like, if you have anything, any kind of input.
We don't like to be told we suck, but that's never happened. As far as I know.
You know what? I could even deal with some constructive criticism.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad. I don't know that we're going to be able to do anything about whatever criticism you have, but we will be happily, we'll happily hear it.
Yeah, I'll certainly read it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
You're
definitely drunk right now.
What makes you say that?
You sound drunk?
Yeah, I'm tired, man. I was tired when I got home.
You're tired and drunk. Anyway,
I apologize to everyone.
I think the listeners like to hear you drunk, which is probably every third episode at this time, at this point. But
yeah, well, I think they might like it when the drunk brings out a certain sort of energy, but I feel like it has the opposite effect today just because of how tired I am.
Yeah.
I don't think they like it when it sounds like I've been fucking
shooting up. They like to hear when the beers crack too, which I enjoy as well. So you got to bring that one back.
I'll be sure to have a six pack on hand next time we record.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right. So hopefully we'll be back next week. I think we probably will. So keep watching and thanks for listening. And I'm Jordan Strickland.
I'm Ryan Kane.
Talk to you next week.
Have a good one.
Bye.